Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's MJ, and you're listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. As usual, I'd like to give a quick shout-out to my local game store, Guardian Games. You can find Guardian Games on the web at ggportland.com. I'd also like to give a shout-out to my awesome patron, Mr. Big Benz, who went over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine to financially support the show. If you like what you hear and you want to help me make more great content, you can go find out more details over at patreon.com/mtginquarantine. And now, on to the show. So, a couple weeks ago, I had Zach from the Command Dudes on to talk about Golgari, the green-black pairing that we both utilized to get started into EDH. And I figured that that'd be a really good chance to talk to some other guests about other two-color pairings that they're really passionate about. Therefore, we're going to talk about the Cult of Rakdos today. That's the red and black color pairing. And to talk about Rakdos today, I would like to bring on my very special guest, Tyler the Brushwag Guy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up? My mascot creature, not even in the color combination we're talking about, but let's roll.
Yeah, unfortunately Rakdos doesn't quite have the green slice of the color pie. You'd have to go Jund for that one, but anywho. I have had the opportunity to play on your stream a couple of times. Would you like to tell the folks listening at home where they can find your content?
Yeah, so my buddy Andrew and I co-host a YouTube channel called Partners with MTG, because it is the two of us, just like the partner mechanic. When we started out, we had like a whole bunch of different content, and then as time has gone on, we've kind of like sifted it down to kind of our more popular stuff. So over on youtube.com/partnerswithmtg, you can find Commander Deck Techs, you can find our own podcast, Taps for Two, which I'm surprised we haven't gotten you on yet, so I'm going to... Now that it's out there in the world, we're going to have to get you on there very soon.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
As well as our Commander gameplay series, Commander Coliseum, which you have been on.
A couple of times, yes.
I think you've technically only been on once, because you've been on the episode of Commander Coliseum, and then you were on... I think it was...
It was the whiteboarder game over on J-Ro's channel that you ended up posting as a... kind of a pseudo Commander Coliseum. So it's kind of like twice, I guess, but really officially once.
That whiteboarder game was so much fun.
Oh, it totally was. I think the people at home eventually, if anyone listened to our episode about those deck intros that we did before the game, I think people really like that. So at some point we got to get you, myself, J-Ro and Peter together, and we got to do another whiteboarder game. I don't care what we're playing or when, we just got to do it.
Absolutely, 100%. We were talking about it before we went live on the recording, and
already
started looking over lists of white border commanders that I wanted to. Maybe I'll go with another one of the Elder Dragons.
Yeah, well, you know, one is already claimed on that front, so you'll have to come up with someone new.
I want to do Vivictus.
Vivictus, yep.
He also doesn't have white, so I don't. Maybe I'll go Arcades. Arcady
Savage
seems kind of cool.
Yep. All right. Anyway, moving on from the realm of white, we're going to go back to red and black. So again, at the top of the show, you mentioned that Rakdos has always been one of your best two-color pairings, and it's kind of the color pairing that got you into Commander. So do you want to talk a little bit more about what inspires you so much about this two-color pairing?
So when I first learned how to play, the guy who taught me ran a mono white deck that he used to teach me, and to keep things simple, he then gave me access to like all of his collection and was like, build a deck out of whatever you can find in here, and you know, build it however you want, and then I will teach you how to play it. And so, having only seen a mono-white deck in my mind, I was like, okay, I can only play one color. So I picked black, because two of the first creatures I had pulled out, and I've mentioned this on my own channel a couple of times, were Halo Hunter and Pestilence Demon. Pestilence Demon being way better than Halo Hunter, but I saw these two black demons, and I was like, yes, black is the color for me. So I built a mono-black deck, and we played around a while, and he had mentioned that He was surprised I'd gone with one color, because most people, when he teaches them, want to incorporate a bunch of other colors. And I was like, I didn't know you could do that. He goes, yeah, so long as you can put different, you know, so long as you have the mana to cast, you can put multiple colors together.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it again, and I found devils. And I was like, well, what else to go with black demons than red devils?
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, see, even then, I was a tribal deck-building savant who didn't understand how mana really worked because I looked at all these cards and I was like, okay, of all of my cards, Pestilence Demon has the most black mana symbols on it with 3, and I can't even remember what my red devil was, but I think it had 2. So I was like, so I've got 3 black and I've got 2 red. Which means if I just have 5 lands in this, like, 80-card deck that I've thrown together, I should be able to cast everything.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a plan.
Ignoring the fact that 5 lands isn't even enough to cast Pestilence Demon, because I think it's an 8-mana card.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, demons aren't exactly cheap. They're kind of like the prima donnas of Magic in a way.
They absolutely are. But so I put together all of these demons and devils with, I think I threw in like 6 or 7 lands just because, you know, again, in like this 80 card homebrew kitchen table deck. And it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy that taught me, like, showed me how to, like, balance 2 colors. And from that point on, like, up until I think college, because I started learning to play like early in high school, and so up until college I played black red, and that was it. I think the first thing to get me into 3 colors was I got a Grixis Commander precon, the one with Nekusar.
Okay, I mean there's been a couple of Grixis precons. The Anala one comes to mind first for me. Yeah. Maybe it was that one.
No, it was an earlier one, because the Anala one, because she came out.
That was C16 or so, something like that.
Yeah, because she came like out that, yeah. With the like the dragon and the vampire.
Yeah,
and
the cat. The tribal ones.
Yeah, no, this was an earlier Commander precon.
Jaleva came out like 2013, I think.
That's the one.
Yeah, okay.
I think Nekusar is in that deck, but mm-hmm. Yeah. So I picked up that one, and that's where
very
I
very cool.
Expanded into more colors, but like even if that one was Grixis, like the whole Jund shard and its 3 different 2-color pairings have been kind of like the ones that I've always rotated around as my favorites, with Rakdos being one that's very, very close to my heart, because it's one that I it's the one that I kind of learned how to play Magic on.
Yeah, so obviously, this is how you got started. You like the demons, you like the devils, things like that. What about the red-black color pairing has really kept you interested? I asked Zach about this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Golgari, about why both of us really enjoyed the color pairing. And I guess I'm just curious, since I'm not really that much into Rakdos, I only have 1 Rakdos together currently, I'm just curious, what about that 2-color pairing has really kept your interest all these years?
A big part of it is definitely that early connection that I made with demons. Like, my mascot is obviously the Almighty Brishwag. I love mm-hmm. I love my Almighty Son.
But it's green.
Zombies are one of my... Exactly. I'm a monster. And zombies are one of my favorite tribes to pilot. But demons... Like, it's that, you know, you always remember your first.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact that this first deck that I built was so heavily in demons, it had the coolest sounding removal. Like, it's also why Doomblade, despite being incredibly suboptimal by this point, to the point where I think there's a card coming out in the next set in the
new Innistrad set, yeah.
Yeah, that is just Doomblade but better, because it's the same speed, it's the same mana cost, and it's like destroy any creature as opposed to just non-black creature,
mm-hmm.
but it does cost 2 life. But just like the names of black removal is what like kind of pulled me in, you know, Doomblade, go for the throat, victim of night. And at that time, I was just like, I wanted to play stuff that sounded cool. And so I like that. A lot of the red cards just, I mean, red is the color for dragons, and I love dragons, so I put those all together. You'd think I'd love Malfagor more than I do, given that he's a demon dragon. But yeah, it mostly kind of, it started with that, of like, these cards sound rad, and these are what I want to play with. And it's just turned into, like, I can't get away from them. They're just kind of so deeply ingrained as my favorite, just starting from the name, that I've kind of adjusted to their playstyle.
Mm-hmm.
Of understand that a lot of my removal is not going to be able to hit a lot of the big creatures that I really like. Like, Doomblade can't hit black creatures, so I know if I go up against someone that's playing black, my Doomblade is now going to be a lot worse. I've recently started putting Power Word Kill into a whole bunch of my decks, just because that card is so rad.
Mm-hmm.
It can't hit demons or dragons, so there we go. Two of my favorite creature types it can't even touch.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because I was about to say, I actually just got a couple of, I got my AFR cards in earlier today, and it got a couple Power Word Kills in there. So it's interesting that you bring that up, because if you hadn't, I was about to bring it up.
It's such a cool card.
Yep.
Like, I know a lot, like, I don't know a ton about D&D. My partner plays it more than I do.
Sure.
And so I know the fact that Power Word Kill, like, I believe in D&D is meant to be, like, this incredibly high-level, powerful spell that's been reduced to an instant speed uncommon.
Yeah, I mean, kind of the same, though, with even, like, Lightning Bolt still. You know, things that were D&D inspired, which may not necessarily be the most powerful cards in Magic, but, you know, are still very well-known, too. So,
I mean,
I can see that.
Bolts become so well known that any spell that does 3 damage, like, that's the nomenclature for it. You know, hey, mm-hmm. I'm going to bolt your thing. Even if you're not playing Bolt.
Yeah.
But then it also came down to, I like black for the same reason that I hate blue.
Okay.
Despite the fact... So I hate counter magic. I'm on the record multiple times. Like, I get it. I get that it's a play style, and I do run my fair amount of counter magic. I hate when somebody goes to try and play something and it gets countered, because it's like, let me play my cards. And playing black makes me feel like I'm letting someone play the game, even though they'll be like, all right, I cast my creature. I'll be like, cool, I will immediately kill it. And it'd be like, all right. At the end of the day, like, the thing ended up in the graveyard, but I feel like I have the moral high ground because I let them play the card, mm-hmm. and then I killed it.
Well, I mean, that's what Withering Boon is for, right? Counter their creature spell.
Oh, yeah. So
no one expects a mono-black counter spell.
I mean, I hate blue counter magic. I love counter magic in every single other color, because no one ever sees it coming.
Yeah. Withering Boon, Tybalt's Trickery, you know, the works.
Tybalt's Trickery is the exception. I hate Tybalt's Trickery just because I play a lot of Arena.
What? Because it only broke a format? I mean, come on. Give a card a break, right?
Now I'm scared anytime I see, like, a Crypt or somebody casting what's the big snake, the colorless one from Eldraine? Stone Coil Serpent.
Yeah, that one.
That cast for 0, and I was like, oh, well, here we go. This game is going to end right now. Either I'm going to concede or they are.
Yeah.
And so Tybalt's Trickery is my one exception.
Then Pyroblast or Red Elemental Blast should cheer you
up. Okay, yes. Yes, I'm a big fan of those.
Mostly all right.
Because they hate blue.
All right. So, again, the Rakdos color pairing has kind of evolved a little more in like the last 5 to 10 years, I'd say. Especially when you get all the guild support. We've had multiple trips to Ravnica. And It feels like the guild has kind of evolved in a few ways, but not in other ways. I mean, we just saw Prosper Tomebound come out in AFR, which has a very, I felt, kind of different feel to it than a lot of Rakdos Legends. But again, just in those most recent Ravnica trips, we kind of still seem to see the same old from this color pairing. I just kind of wanted to hear from you what your thoughts are on this color pairing going forward and what you're excited about and what you're kind of so-so about regarding how the color pairing is portrayed and what you're able to do with it.
See, you say that, but I might actually have to disagree with you on that, because, like, every time we've gone to Ravnica, you know, each guild has always had its own mechanic, and I almost feel like Rakdos is the only one that's changing it up each time, because we've had Unleash, which dealt with, do you want a bigger creature that can't block, or do you want kind of a smaller creature that can? They've had Hellbent, which dealt with, you know, having no cards in hand. And then most recently we saw Spectacle, that dealt with them being dealt damage. I feel like they're the only ones that are constantly, like, kind of trying to evolve. Which is ironic, because Evolve is the Simic mechanic. Because, like guilds like the Simic, like, I think every single one of their mechanics had to do with +1/+1 counters. And it's like, alright, cool, it's kind of boring, but whatever. All the Boros mechanics had to do with combat. Selesnya always kind of had to do with just having a bunch of tokens, either through, like, Populate or Convoke.
Sure, sure.
I can't remember.
I guess I meant more kind of the flavor of the Rakdos guild, is that you kind of know what you're getting with this color pairing no matter what plane you're on or what set you're in. It always feels like red and black has that very identifiable card, you know? Is it whenever you get a demon, it'll fall under this. Whenever you're going to get some kind of weird devil or horror, it's going to seemingly fall under this. It's just, it. Red-black seems to always kind of fit in a weird box. I don't know. At least that's the way it's always been for me. Is like,
okay. So I guess in that point you are kind of correct in that, yeah, the Rakdos color pair does kind of have this niche of, like, red's recklessness with black's, like, greatness at any cost. And there are, like, it's attempted different ways of attacking that, like what I was saying with the different mechanics that Rakdos has employed just on, like, Ravnica. There goes my headset. It does feel like it has this role that it is always stuck into of, it is damage, it is killing, it is big scary creatures, and it doesn't care what it's going to do to you or its opponents in order to get to it. And then you're right, we get something like Prosper or even Asmodeus, who are kind of playing around with different things that, even though now that I say it out loud, Asmodeus is mono black, but just looking at what Prosper does with, like, playing cards from exile, they're kind of playing around with I don't even think it's so much them, like, evolving as them just, like, taking another path to get to the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
And if that makes sense at all.
Yeah, I think it does.
And so I like, that's kind of one of the things that I like about them, is it's a relatively simple color pair to play. Because you know what you want to do, but it's not, like, linear. Because you've got different ways of getting to that same point of, I'm going to play big dragons, I'm going to play big demons, and we're going to have a whole bunch of different ways of getting to that point, whether it's like Rakdos Lord of Riots, where it's, I'm going to deal damage to you, which red wants to do, and I'm going to turn that into upside for me by making all of my creatures cheaper. Like, I have a Rakdos Lord of Riots commander deck that is, it's Rakdos Eldrazi.
And okay.
I played 1v1 against Andrew with it, like a week or two ago, and I went from having one creature on board, Rakdos, hitting him with it, and ending the turn with, like, 8 Eldrazi.
Okay, that sounds scary.
It's terrifying, because one of those Eldrazi was a Titan.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what I like about it, is because blue-white control is probably, the opposite end of that spectrum for me, of, like, I can't follow it, I don't, like, more power to you if you play it, but, like, I can't follow, like, combos and stuff like that. So I like that the Rakdos color pair has always been, like, big creatures, kill your opponent's stuff, burn everything around you, let's go, and giving me different ways to do that.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of your Rakdos decks that you built in the past. What are some of those that you're most proud of and you just kind of want to talk about for a couple minutes?
Let's take a look at what I've got, because I've got way too many commander decks.
Yeah, I've got the same problem.
On my completed list, I kind of have already touched on it, of my Rakdos Eldrazi deck. But then I've got Meet and Creep, which is what I call my Rakdos Minotaurs. You know, because it's like meet and greet. But
okay.
Meet, like, M-E-A-T, and Crete, as in, like, the land that the Minotaur came from. And, like, at their core, like, they both want to do the same thing. They both want to pound in with tons of powerful creatures, but one wants to do it with cowboys. And I love this deck so much. It's, like, the tribal synergy is there. Like, just Death Bellow Warcry, when that was revealed and released at Theros Beyond Death, the 5 red, search your library for up to 4 Minotaur creature cards with different names, put them onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library.
Mm-hmm.
I got to live the dream and played... It's not... Where is it? It's Oracle of Bones.
Okay.
2 red, 3-1, Minotaur Shaman, haste, tribute 2. So when it enters the battlefield, any opponent of your choice may choose to place 2 +1/+1 counters on it, turning it into a 5-3 with haste. But if Oracle of Bones enters the battlefield and its tribute wasn't paid, you get to cast an instant or sorcery card from your hand without paying the mana cost. And somebody rolled the dice because I had one card in hand, and that one card was Death Bellow Warcry, and I won game that turn. And so I've got that one where I got to use a whole bunch of synergistic cards together that work in the same tribe. But then I'm building Blim from Commander Legends.
Uh-huh.
Which is all about putting out big scary things, but giving them to people. And I haven't gotten a chance to play it yet because it's still in the process of being built, but it plays with a whole bunch of cards that I don't get to play with in other decks because the cards are bad and scary. But it's fine if you're giving them to your opponent. You ever win a game by giving someone else a demonic pact? It's great.
Mm-hmm. yeah. And along with those other kinds of cards that hurt or actively hurt your opponents, be saying that they can't play this, can't play that, et cetera, et cetera.
All of the lich cards that, like, make it so you can't lose the game until this card leaves the battlefield, but they take away resources from you as you take damage. Like, I'm too big of a coward to put those in a normal deck, but they all get funneled into Blim because it's funny.
Well, I mean, that's if you're playing the deck. If you're getting this stuff, it's not funny, Tyler.
I mean, I'm giving you presents. Who doesn't love presents?
I mean, if I wanted presents, I'd be going with the other one that does that.
Oh, Zedru?
Yeah, with Zedru.
Zedru has blue, though. Blue is for cowards.
You're already here, folks. Tyler believes the blue players are cowards.
But then, past those, like, I've got a couple other, like, three-color decks that prominently feature red and black. I've got, like, Zergo Helm Smasher,
mm-hmm.
which it kind of still embodies that whole thing with black and red together of, like, I'm going to put out something big and scary, in this case Zergo. I'm going to give him a bunch of swords and some powerful beefy pants, and he's going to be your problem. And that is what, like, I love about the color pair, of being able to throw this big stuff out and being like, hey, here's a threat. You deal with it. I got another one coming.
Mm-hmm. And you did mention the Rakdos deck as well, which, again, you found an interesting way to kind of work with the confines of that card to create something quite scary.
Oh, yeah, because I think the other popular two-color combo I've seen for Eldrazi, I mean, obviously, you know, outside of just straight colorless Eldrazi tribal, is I've seen green-blue Eldrazi that kind of tries to do the same thing with Kruphix. And rather than using Rakdos to reduce the amount of mana your stuff costs, you just bank a whole bunch of mana to then do the same thing, which I think is really, really cool. That, you know, both decks want to do the exact same thing, but, like, almost in entirely opposite ways.
I've got a Simic Eldrazi deck with Kruphix at the helm of my playgroup, actually, so I know that more than you know.
What kind of Eldrazi do you like to run in it? Like, obviously there's all the Titans, but, like, when it comes to, like, the common and uncommon ones... Where do you draw the line in
that deck, which is not mine, obviously, but I see it all the time in my playgroup. I mean, obviously all the Titans, but I'm trying to remember what else is in there. It's been a while. We don't see that deck an awful lot. It's kind of fallen in the we rarely ever play these decks because it's too powerful for our meta category. I've got a couple of my own decks in the lockbox, like, for the same reason. So, you know, we see it every now and then, but I don't quite remember off the top of my head.
I do want to point out, looking at my own deck list, I don't actually run any of the Rakdos colored Eldrazi. I run some of the black Eldrazi, but I think I run one or two red ones, but I don't actually have any of the Rakdos ones.
Interesting. So before we wrap up here, Tyler, I'm just curious to know what you think about the Rakdos color pairing going forward, and what you think would be some interesting new design space for the color pairing in the coming years.
I like where it currently is. I know, like, Boros gets kind of a lot of hate because, like, everything it does is combat based. Whereas, like, with Rakdos, you know, I love that you get options that still kind of want to do the same goal. And I am also very interested on where, like, some of the newer cards have been going, like I had mentioned with Asmodeus or with Prosper. And I think there's a couple other cards that are from that same precon that Prosper is from. One of them, it's a sorcery that's got a Beholder on it.
Okay.
Like, I can't remember what it's called, that involves, like, taking stuff. I think it involves taking stuff from your opponent's deck and playing it.
That seems about right.
So I like this idea of the Rakdos color pair, which is kind of classically always been seen as, like, scary, because, you know, it's the color of demons and dragons and devils. And, like, the flavor of it now being able to mess with Exile and other people's libraries, of, like, this idea of, like, cards coming from outside the game or coming from, like, these bizarre dimensions and you don't know what could be coming. So I think playing around with Exile more is something that I'd really like to see them do.
Mm-hmm. So more than just the impulse draw that Red's getting, just kind of making it more of a theme about being able to exile more than, let's say, one card a turn for Outpost Siege or things like that?
Yeah. So, I know, like, with Asmodeus specifically, because you're right, Red's got the impulse draw of you exile a card or two, and you have a turn to use it, and that's kind of it. Whereas, like, Asmodeus, you can exile a whole bunch of stuff that you can get back later, but it's going to cost you life to do it.
Sure.
So, I do like this field that Red and Black is playing with, of, like, banking stuff away later and having to pay life, which historically, you know, Red and albeit mostly black, but even red to a degree with a lot of its symmetrical effects, like that, oh god, it's an enchantment from Zendikar Rising that hits each opponent for one on their upkeep, and then you can pay into it to make it so no one can gain life that turn or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, red has also been willing to play around with its life total. Just this idea of black taking red's impulse draw and both of their desires of, like, victory at any cost, victory to... We gotta win now. And, like, expanding on that impulse draw effect of you don't lose the card at end of turn, but it is going to hurt when you want to get those cards back. Kind of the next generation of Suicide Black, of Suicide Rakdos.
Yeah, and, you know, kind of going down that Doomsday pipe, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously that's kind of the extreme example, but yeah, it still works.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, again, Tyler, thank you for being on the show today. It's been great having you to talk about Rakdos. I've definitely learned a lot.
Thanks for having me on. It was fun to kind of relive my early days of playing Magic and kind of really sit down and look at a color pair that I play a lot, but I haven't really thought too hard about why I like to play it. So it's been nice to kind of like understand myself talking about it.
Yeah, no problem. All right. And again, where can people find Partners with MTG, Commander Coliseum, and all the other content that you curate?
So you can find me on Twitter at Almighty Brush Swag, where I've been posting a lot more on there. Whenever we have a new video come out, I always post it up there. And then on YouTube at Partners with MTG, we upload every Wednesday and every Friday. We've been debating, like, we kind of took a break from uploading on Mondays, just because Andrew and I just both got new jobs, and so we kind of lessened our workload a little bit, even though we now have an editor to help us out. But yeah, every Wednesday and Friday, we upload, each week, we have one deck tech and then either a Commander Coliseum or an episode of Taps for Two. So in total, on average, four deck techs every month, two episodes of Taps for Two and two episodes of Commander Coliseum.
Mm-hmm. So definitely make sure to check those out if you haven't already.
Yes, we like to think that we're doing better and we're getting closer to 420 subs. And when we get there, we're giving away a Commander deck.
Nice. Hopefully not the white
suspicion. That was the card.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry, I just found it. Six black red sorcery. Each opponent exiles cards from the top of their library until they exile a non-land card. You may cast any number of spells from among those non-land cards without paying their mana cost, and it has rebound. That's okay. The one I was thinking of.
Gotcha,
playing with other people's decks. All right, now that itch has been scratched.
All right, and speaking of socials, you can find me on Twitter at MTG in Quarantine. If you find the really happy looking Ulamog wearing a pair of headphones speaking of Eldrazi, you found the right place. You can also find the entire back catalog. Oh, yeah, go ahead. You can find the entire back catalog of the MTG in Quarantine podcast on the usual podcast outlets. That's Spotify, Google, Apple, Player FM, MTG Cast, Castbox, and a whole bunch of other places that I always forget because there are just so many. But yeah, most general podcast outlets, you can find me on there. And again, if you want to support me make great content, definitely go on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine. Again, thank you to my patron, Mr. Big Benz, for being amazing and supporting the show. If you would like to get in on some interesting rewards, including having your name included in these little spots at the beginning and the end of the episode, definitely head on over to patreon.com/mtginquarantine for more information. All right, Tyler, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for a creature that doesn't have a face of which to make facial expressions, your icon of Ulamog definitely does look very happy.
Yeah, thank you. I really like the logo there. It was a great piece of work. I'm very glad I have it.
It's fantastic. But yes, go support MJ. MJ is making amazing things and deserves all of the support in the world.
Oh, thank you. And definitely the same thing for you. For everyone listening here, definitely go check out Tyler and all the amazing things that's going on over at Partners with MTG and Commander Coliseum, because that's always a good time. And you could even see me play a couple of decks over there in a couple episodes.
Oh, yeah. We got to get you back on there.
Definitely. All right. Well, that about wraps it up. You've been listening to the MTG in Quarantine podcast. My name's MJ. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.